Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to those to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, November. Boy, am I messed up. November, some date 21. In November 21. In 2018. It's before Thanksgiving, and I've got Thanksgiving on the mind because we were just talking about it. Anyway, good to have everybody here. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly as well.
Good evening, everyone.
And, of course, tomorrow being Thanksgiving in the United States, happy Thanksgiving to those of you in the U.S. and anywhere else you're joining in on the Thanksgiving. Of course, we should be doing that every day, huh? Anyway, we appreciate you being here. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. We'll be talking about that tonight. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And these principles of belief in their expanded form are available on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, our topic is pantheism. What is it? Many of you may know what it is, and so we're going to just discuss that a little bit. What I'm going to do is give kind of a rather brief description of it and definition of it, and then we'll just discuss that. Before I get into pantheism, though, I want to just clarify 2 other things, and those are atheism and agnosticism. Atheism is atheistic. Theistic has to do with religions, you know, especially Christianity and some of the patriarchal religions and the Abrahamic religions. But atheism is simply the disbelief in a God concept as promoted, well, probably by any religion. They just don't believe in God. That's atheists. Now, you can, among atheists, you can have different degrees of atheists. You can have fundamentalist atheists who are frankly about as, you know, fanatical as some of the religious extremes are. So that's atheism. Agnosticism simply means you don't know. Is there a God? Don't know. Is there a creator? Don't know. And you can kind of be both in a certain way, but that's the definition of atheism and agnosticism. Now, pantheism is a variant, and pantheism is simply the view that the universe or nature and God are identical. They're one and the same. There's not a separate God, as some of the religions teach, but that basically God or the divine is in everything. Pantheism is widely held among modern-day pagans, New Age and New Thought proponents, and many others who just don't believe in a God concept. So pantheism, by definition, is atheistic in the traditional theological sense, and often includes the idea that since God and nature are one, any divinity that exists actually resides within all creation, including humans. Some pantheists will continue to use the word God or the universe or nature, the divine, different variations of that. But if they're pantheists, they're not referring, if they even use God, they're not referring to the God concept as promoted by Christian and Abrahamic religions do. There's some well-known pantheists that have been around: Albert Einstein, Ralph Waldo Emerson, D.H. Lawrence, Henry David Thoreau, and Walt Whitman are some. Then there's many others. And just one thing that I'll end with, at least on this description, is there's another variation of it, and it's called panentheism, not pantheism, but panentheism, which, contrary to pantheism, is the belief that God exists and in basically is within us all. But they, panentheists, believe that in a divine being. But pantheists do not. They believe that the divine or God and in nature are one and the same. So that's a brief description of it. Dr. Hunter has some points she'd like to share as well.
Well, I would like to make clear that pantheism, if you want to call it a religion in that context, is the oldest on the planet, beginning of time, beginning of humanity, because people would live with nature. Now, of course, we can get into this, as you've said, there's different kinds of pantheists. Pantheists can believe in many deities, you know, for instance, the Egyptians or the Mayans. And, you know, there's people who believe in the different levels of consciousness and life, spirit worlds and so on, but that there would be rulers of each. You know, my Norse background is they would have deities. You know, there's Thor and Odin and Freya and so on.
But not gods.
No, because not gods.
Pantheism is atheistic.
They're not gods in the, mind you, in a lot of movies you'll see them use the word gods, but that wasn't necessarily a term in root languages back then. You know, it would be the mother of or the father of or, you know, the creator of. It would be in those deities. There's different terms, which is, terminology is really important. And unfortunately, a lot of words get thrown around and people don't really know what they mean. Pagans and self-declared pagans, that's a word that the Christians actually gave to pantheists, tribal people who were pantheistic. They called them like they were the country dwellers, and the church decided that they were without God. So pagans are, and that pagan word really means without God. Well, that's not true in the sense of how you view God, because to a pantheist, the universal energy that connects us all is that force.
Right.
See, not necessarily a God word. And I went through many years of rejecting the God word, and I finally kind of came to terms with it. But I still don't like it. You know, I don't like it because of how most people use it and in what context they use it. And you're right, you know, when you mentioned the New Age movement, which can be as radical as any other fundamentalist religion, claim to be paganistic or pantheistic, but they use words like divine and the God force, and they still aspire to Jesus, you know, the Christ love, and it goes on and on. Well, it's really a contradiction in terms, because you can't be a pantheist and still aspire to live in the Christ light. That it's a contradiction in terms, because a true pantheist doesn't aspire to live in anybody's light except one's own light. You see?
Amen.
So it's to tap into the universal force. Pantheists are, and I have been a practicing pantheist for most of my adult life, and I dismissed all Christian holidays many years ago, even while I was raising kids. Actually, it worked out really fine. When Dad came to get the kids for the Christmas, I had them for the solstice, Yuletide, so it didn't bother me in the least. So it worked out fine. But And my children really adapted to that. And as they got older and more educated and understanding who they are and making choices, two out of three became pantheists. Another became a Christian. And, you know, go forth as one is of the adult mind to make one's own decisions. But so I adapted into it really well. I wanted to restore, you know, my ancestral roots and again, that pantheistic, the tribal traditional culture of my ancestry. And so it's required a lot of research and resurrecting things, but trying to be as accurate as possible. And it's not easy because there are so many new age takes on old pantheism, which that's why it gets very confusing. And so to set the record straight, pantheists will honor, and that's a better word to use than worship. It's honoring, you know, like we have 13 full moons in a year. We have the many seasons now, depending on where you live on the planet. Northern, far north communities don't have four seasons. They have two. And so they honor
winter and winter.
That's right. So, but it, you know, that, but their summer is a mild winter, if that yeah. makes sense. So it's how much light there is. And, you know, so there are traditions that are passed down through, let's say each, I want to say tribal culture, ancient culture, but that's not even the accurate word. It's more, it's also about family, and it's kind of geographical. So every culture with its own root languages are still primarily pantheistic. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of contamination. Again, harping on this is a waste of time to the knowing who we're talking to, but it's been contaminated by Christianity, contaminated by the New Age community. But these are people, and I really want to say, though, I think there is a shift in the last few decades of people gravitating more to a practice of pantheism. Very difficult to give up the indoctrinations of, you know, a traditional religion, patriarchal religion. So it's that what an old friend of mine would say is people live in a church of justification. They're shifting their minds, but we're still got 2 feet in different wells kind of thing, you know? And so it's a crossover. But there is awakening in a consciousness, way more atheists than there ever has been. And I think an atheist is still someone who has, you know, rejected the idea of a one God who's calling the shots, and totally understandable. Yeah. But what would be in place of that? You know, so it's still this pursuing of a better understanding of how to live in harmony with Earth and humanity in general. So, which includes all animals, all life forces as one unit, because we don't exist individually as an autonomy. You know, we can have our individuality, but we are connected. Quantum physics teaches us that. We're all connected by some kind of energy. So I think there's this awakening to want to connect better and greater with the Earth and the universe as a whole, but people are still learning about it.
I want to go back to something you mentioned, too.
Yeah.
Couple of things on having, you know, your feet in both areas, so to speak, or, you know, so many people, let's back up a moment. Religion can be so indoctrinated in people,
yeah.
especially Christianity, and, you know, and that's in this country and in developed countries, and I'm
yeah.
sure that Islam is similar, but they can be so indoctrinated that they may get away from the religion, you know, and the constraints of the various religions, but still have this ideology that there's a God out there calling the shots. And And I just want to make clear, that is a human construct. Now, is there a creator or someone responsible or someone's responsible for everything that we see? I don't know. That's called agnosticism. I don't know. I do know one thing, that the vindictive, jealous, psychotic God as described in the Bible is not real. That describes, you know, an 8-year-old boy with mental problems, you know, who, I mean, that's not a God. That's not an all-loving God. That's a psycho. And so that's ridiculous. I mean, that's just mythology. I mean, that's just, and a lot of the ancient gods were kind of that way. They were more human than anything as depicted. So if you're one of these folks who still hold on to that God concept, you can still hold on to it. I don't care. That's up to you. That's your personal decision. All I want to do is challenge you to think it through a little bit, because the whole God concept and religion and all that, it all started as a thought in somebody's mind at some point. And the rest of us have been indoctrinated. I was, for sure, indoctrinated in that, brainwashed, if you will, and most people are, until one day, about 20 years ago, I started to wake up. And I went through a phase of deism. Deism simply means you believe in God, but you believe he has nothing to do with humanity. And many of the founding fathers of the U.S. were deists. But I soon got rid of deism as well and became basically atheistic, agnostic. I don't know if there's a creator. I wish I knew all the answers. I don't. But I do know one thing, that the God concept is described in the Bible is it can't be. And if it is true, you know, we're all screwed. And so I can't, it's not reasonable. It's not logical. So I abandoned that. And when you talked about, people, so what's the deal? You know, people, a lot of religions say, well, where do you get your morals from? Well, we get our morals from the same place everybody gives moral, you know, gets their morals from. Religion does not necessarily provide morals. In fact, it's responsible for more immoral behavior over the centuries than anything else. So, you know, basically, moral people get their morals from themselves. I mean, that's what it is, you know. It doesn't come from religion. It comes from being a moral human being with a moral compass, which is basically inherent to most of us. Not all of us, but most of us have that conscience. You know, we have a conscience. We have a morality. We don't harm other people. We don't hurt other people. And we don't want to kill things, that sort of thing. So pantheism, which is basically what the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism is, simply means looking into oneself to and walk your own path. You know, that's what we call being self-complete, complete within yourself. And that's what we do. And we search for answers, and we search for the truth, whatever that means or wherever that takes us. That's the true scientific method, is whatever that truth is. And we're always searching for hints and clues as to what the overall truth is. But we don't know. Nobody knows. You know, did all this beauty that we see around us and the earth and the universe and all that, was it created? Did it come from somewhere? Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if there's somebody responsible for it. You know, where are they? And why did they put me on a planet where everything eats everything else? You know, I just don't get that. So there's some serious arguments for that. I mean, they could be tried for crimes against humanity for just dumping us. No different than a parent would be arrested and tried for child abuse if they just dumped their children. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, that pantheism means looking into yourself and understanding that we're all connected, as Dr. Hunter said. We're all connected. We're all part of this. And we're all responsible for making a better world and for not giving in to the base human emotions or base human behaviors that are savage and barbaric. And that includes bullying, hurting other people, talking down to other people. It includes racism. It includes intolerance. Those are all animal savage behaviors, and they are not befitting an evolved species.
I might say that every kind of practice used by the Christian church, and I could list a number of others, is taken from pantheists. There isn't one practice, let's just pick on Christianity for a moment. There isn't one practice in any faction of the Christian religion that isn't taken from some pagan/pantheist traditional practice. It's really fascinating. Right from the use of fire, lighting candles, pointed hats and witches. You know, I'm telling you, it's really interesting to me that in this seduction of the mind and the creation of false gods, and that which is precisely what it is, it builds control. You build fear, you build control. You tell people what to wear, what to do, you know, how to do it. Then you have a membership and they pay money and it goes on and on. It's a business. Pantheists don't see it that way. Pantheists understand that everything is free-flowing. We do live in this reality. And yes, you have to eat. So, you know, you're going to provide a spiritual service in some way. You need something that's, you know, value for value in exchange. But that's the laws of nature. You talk about morality, ethics. Basically, it's a natural law. And you understand, if you just observe nature versus what we decide, it becomes really clear. You know, we can see the nature of humanity that can be good and kind and wonderful, but the conditioning of humanity has become otherwise. So there's the human condition, you know, and largely, again, that's cultural. Wherever you live on the planet, there's going to be some kind of conditioning that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's, oh, I want you to buy these burgers because they're great, or I want you to come to this church because I can save you. And,
yeah.
You know, and so there's always a sales pitch. A true pantheist would never do that. So, so this is where I'm even cautious in the New Age world. Honestly, I am. I found, as much as I appreciate this stage of evolution that we're in and where it's, you know, we are kind of gaining some ground in waking up, and I love that. The misconceptions, it's just as egotistical there as it is within any other religion. So a caution to people, you know, when you see people claiming to do a lot of stuff and there's a lot of ego flying around, it's just become a different expression of the same thing. Not really. It might be New Age, but actually it's old age, and they put a new slant on it to sell you a book.
Good point.
So,
Michael,
anyway.
Michael, do you have any comments?
Oh, I could talk all night about religion and philosophy and pantheism. One thing that I do agree with you on is that traditional dogmatic religions, they never really have any answers. They just kick the can down the road. You know, where did we come from? Well, God did it. Where did God come from? Oh, we don't know. It's not for us to know. Well, thanks. Well, you didn't tell me anything. And it's just, it was something that we went through as a phase of our existence in transitioning into these kind of monotheistic gods. But frankly, we're moving beyond them. And when we admit what we don't know, it opens the door for us to discover new things.
Good point.
And, you know, it served its role, but we're moving beyond it.
Good points. Very good. All right, so hopefully you got a point or two out of this, and at least it got you thinking, hopefully. And if you're resisting any of this stuff, that's another area to think about, too. Because as a species, we need to outgrow the idea that we somehow need a higher power in our lives. We have all the power we need. We're self-complete, or we should be. We don't need a higher power. And there's so many moral problems with that. We don't need somebody to save us. We need to save ourselves. we're here, we're evolving, we're growing, we've created a lot of problems, we need to solve those problems.
If I can inject too, in the New Age community, they've replaced God for spirit guide with spirit guides. And
yeah, good point.
I get where that idea comes from. I call them my friends. Like, this plane of existence is still teeming with other planes of existence. And we kind of have different friends, partners, and, I don't call them spirit guides. I call them friends.
Yeah.
And somebody might look out for me for a while, but really it's up to me to make a decision. The burden is on me, not on my spirit guide, quote unquote, or, you know, my spirit friends. This is the, you know, free will zone of the universe. And that's part of our lessons here, I'm afraid. So that's just something else to think about.
You know,
if you're replacing God with spirit guides, I totally get where people get that idea. I don't like it myself. That's just my opinion.
Because the problem is, anytime you look outside of yourself for anything, for the answers, for strength, for somebody to solve your problems, you're giving your power away. That's what you're doing. So don't look outside of yourself to solve your problems. Now, it doesn't mean you can't ask for advice. That's just doing your due diligence. That's gathering data and information. So do that. That's fine. But take the responsibility of your life squarely on your and place it on your own shoulders, and then deal with it. But don't constantly look to somebody else to save you. I mean, look, we've all done that. I spent 40 years doing that. It doesn't work. The silence is deafening. And so we've got to take responsibility for ourselves as human beings, as individuals, as a species, so that we can continue to evolve and move forward. All right.
Well, we have Dr. Edward first up for cards.
And let me explain our inner oracle cards, just for those who are new to the program or new to the archives. These are a deck of cards that basically have nuggets of wisdom and truth and so forth. All of it we teach in our schools. And so these are cards that are designed to get you thinking. So that's what they are. So go ahead.
So, Dr. Edward and Michael, if you could have Dr. Jean on standby, that would be great. Edward, you have number 34. Take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what's earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what's yours and releasing the rest. You know, even to the smallest thing, we have to check in with ourselves on that one. So I hope that resonates with you at some level, Edward, because it certainly does with me every day. I have to always remember that that's not my business. So, you know, letting things go. All right, Michael, Dr. Jean.
Jeannie,
I'm sorry.
Well, I pulled number 32, sympathy, empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act, paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Good.
I like it. You know, I just pulled one for William. By the way, nice to have you here, William. Number 7 in the wild card suit. We haven't seen this for a long time, William, so it's hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your your hope, for it's the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope, as a footnote there. Good card, William.
Yeah. Hope.
Yeah, I love that. We have Sherry up next. Michael?
All right. For Sherry, I pulled number 5, love, control. Differences are inevitable, and diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but that you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
That's always a good one.
Very well put.
Now, Wendy, I pulled number 7. That, you know, that last card was 7 in the wild card suit, but this is in the main cards is number 7 also. In the life leadership paragon suit, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. Powerful card for you tonight, Wendy. Now, I understand. I'm not.
Well, let me.
Yeah.
Let me actually jump in on this one
real
quick.
Yeah, please.
So I saw Cecilia asked if she could have card 17.
Yeah, I know.
I was wondering if she wanted to pull card 17 for the group and then also get a card. But it's ironic because the card that I just happened to pull off the top for Cecilia is 17.
Yay. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Worked out.
All right. Read the card for Cecilia.
That's reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
You know, reinvention is something we talk about every week on this program in one way or another. And it certainly was a thread in tonight's discussion on pantheism. So the reinvention is something that we should be doing every day in one way or another in little ways. And when we see something within ourselves that needs to be adjusted, we do that. We reinvent ourselves to do that.
Well, I know that a couple of people have selected cards for the group tonight, but I'd like to carry on for a moment and just I pulled one here for Fran, and then we'll get to those other cards. Fran, I got the power of belief, number 25. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. That's a good one to think about. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy and proceed with conviction. That's just pausing, what I call pushing the pause button to say, do I really believe in this, and move forward. So, good card.
Mm-hmm.
Good card. Now, as I've kind of been looking through, and help me out here, Michael, Fran had mentioned number 40, and as she said, but another one and jumped out.
Right.
Sorry.
Well, right, absolutely, and while you had picked one, I was looking at the cards in the book, and number 40 is relationships.
Yes.
And number 8, balance and order.
Which is...
go hand in hand.
Which is a really good message for everybody. And if I can just take a couple of little excerpts from this, it's relationships are interdependent and win-win. And balance and order, simply the message is, if experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Now, so I think putting those two messages together, as Fran was saying, you know, the number 8 was the jumper card. I think that's for all of us to look at our relationships with each other, mm-hmm. and every relationship that you have. And if there is any adversity, it just needs to be addressed. And
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say any adversity is simply a state of disorder. Something is out of its proper order. If that adversity is in a relationship, then something is out of its proper order. And almost always the root of it is going to be one or both people trying to control the other, offering unsolicited advice. You know, we just talked about the law of control. And that's a big, big, huge issue with so many relationships. If you stop doing it, then things get better. But there could be other factors involved too. So regardless of where the, you know, what it, if it's a relationship or not, if you have adversity in your life right now, something is out of its proper order. Find out what that is, put it back in its proper order, the adversity will go away. Now, in relationships, that may mean discontinuing the relationship in some cases. I mean, that's what it will take. It's what it took for me at one point. That's the only way that I could put things back in its proper order. So that's just my 2 cents on it.
We've had a couple of additions. Michael, would you like to pick a card for Dr. Shirley?
You're going to get to Dr. Jeannie. She drew a card 14 for the room.
Well, I was going to save that for the end because
okay,
it's so good.
Good.
It's such a great card. I think it's a super way maybe for us to end the program. So I hope
okay.
you don't mind. I was
no.
I should have mentioned it.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I've pulled number 13, positive consciousness. And let's see. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary. It's a good card, and I like the line to be with your natural self, which kind of comes back to our overall topic tonight, pantheism.
Well, that just flows right into the card that I picked for Sherry's daughter, Kim. Number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. Wow. That's a good one.
It's a powerful card for all of us. We need to be who we are and walk our own path, not cave into them esteem, not doing things because other people think we should, making sure that the obligations that we accept are the ones that we want to accept and not ones that we feel are put on us by others. So,
you know, I can only add on that there's things that are in our nature that's just our nature. There are behaviors that are changeable. If there are things about yourself that you might not like, ask yourself that question. Is this a behavior that I want to keep, or is it a behavior that could be worked on and kind of part of that reinventing yourself? So
yeah.
That's just a footnote that I wanted to add on there. Now, great card, Dr. Jeannie, that number 14 – Michael, would you like to read that card? It's such a good way to kind of wrap up our whole discussion here tonight.
Of course, I'd be happy to. And, of course, 14 is energy shift in new chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old, then in with the new.
Great Good. Card.
And you know, I think of energy shifts, and I'm fascinated with energies, and not perhaps in the new agey way so much, but if you just look for it, for different energies, you can see them. For example, wherever you're at, whatever room you're in right now, wherever you're at, just look around, you know, settle, let things settle. What's the energy of the room? And then walk into another room, and that room will have its own energy or decor, you know. And so if you look around, you see a beautiful setting somewhere, you know, landscape or something, you think, wow, that's really beautiful. It's got its an energy that's different than perhaps another place that's not as beautiful or beautiful in a different way. I mean, think about a beautiful mountain landscape compared to a desert landscape. Now, some people think that both are beautiful, and they are in their own right, but they have completely different energies about them. And the same is true with people. Different people have different energy signatures, different energies about them. We call them vibes. And so if you start looking for energies in the difference in rooms or houses or towns, cities, you'll see them everywhere if you think of it in those terms. It's just an energy thing, or rather it's an interesting thing, and we can then look at our own energy. And, you know, is our own energy uplifting and upbuilding and enthusiastic and whatnot? And, you know, we can look at our own energy and make adjustments as we see necessary. All right. So, fascinating topics tonight. I think we got everybody who wanted a card. We've talked about a lot of things, pantheism and taking and releasing ownership, sympathy and empathy, hope, law of control, self-mastery, reinvention, power of belief, relationships, balance and order, positive consciousness, be who you are and walk your own path, and energy shifts and new chapters. We talked about a lot of stuff tonight with a common thread, and that is to get you thinking and to hopefully encourage you. So we appreciate everybody's kind attention tonight, those listening live and those listening to the archives. And if you know somebody who could benefit from this, then let them know about it, and they can tune in or listen to the archives too. We'd appreciate that. And again, those of you in the U.S., happy Thanksgiving and happy evening and tomorrow to everybody. I hope you have a great week. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. And again, thanks to all those who listen. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.